True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a swing and a miss, strike three, and this ball game is over. A very disappointing opening day for the Chicago Cubs as the Washington Nationals win by a score of 10-4.
And now it's time for Judson Richards on 104.3 The Score.
Well, happy opening day to everybody out there. Judson Richards along with you for the next 3 hours on 104.3 The Score. It is somewhat a celebratory day as we have hit opening day for Major League Baseball. However, on the north side, a 10-4 loss for the Cubs to the Nationals. On the south side in Milwaukee, a 14-2 final there as the Brewers take down the Sox. Let's hope that Illinois also on a Sweet 16 kind of day can get it done this evening. Got a busy, busy show tonight. Plenty to discuss. The Cubs have almost, I wouldn't say buried the lead, but they certainly have been able to change topic rather quickly as Nico Hoerner reportedly, even by our very own Bruce Levine, reportedly have signed their second baseman to a 6-year contract extension. We will talk about that with Alex Cohen of the Marquee Sports Network coming your way at 6:25 this evening. Also, really looking forward to talking to Ryan Baker of CBS Chicago live from Houston as Illinois gets set to take on the University of Houston. Yeah, that's right. The Houston Cougars are playing just 2 miles away from their campus in a great Sweet 16 matchup. So Ryan Baker will join us live from Houston coming up at 7:45. That one with a late 9 o'clock tip-off for the Sweet 16. But let's open the phones, really open for the next 3 hours to get your reaction. We can go in a lot of different directions. 312-644-6767. You want to talk about the Cubs getting it done with Nico Hoerner and continuing to stay strong up the middle, right? That was something that Jed Hoyer set out to do years ago when he came after the rebuild, fitting with Anthony Rizzo throwing out the first pitch today. But as they moved on from Chris Bryant and Javier Baez and Anthony Rizzo, and really that 2016 team that we'll be talking plenty about this year with the 10 years ago getting it done, it was a team that wanted to be strong up the middle. And the game changed, really. The game of baseball changed where it was less, it seemed like less about home runs. The ball was not juiced as much. And it was a team, and it was very, very, very clear that Jed Hoyer wanted to be a team that was very, very good up the middle. They paid Dansby Swanson when got him from the Atlanta Braves when he was a free agent. Obviously, the trade for Javier Baez for a center fielder, Pete Crow Armstrong, that one's probably going a little bit better than they expected it to, as they find themselves with really the best center fielder in the game defensively. And then the best wins above replacement player for a second baseman last year, Nico Hoerner, now signs a 6-year contract extension. 312-644-6767. You want to talk about Nico? You want to talk about this game? You want to talk about the decision to start Matthew Boyd? We can do it. You know, there's a lot made of the contract, $119 million for that deal for Pete Crow Armstrong. And really, it was seen somewhat as a team-friendly deal, right? We'd all love to have that kind of cash set up with what these guys are earning with PCA as great as he is. That was seen as a team-friendly deal. You want to know what a team-friendly deal is? The one that Nico Hoerner was on for 3 years and $35 million. Nico, recognized arguably as the best at his position, especially coming off of 2025, was the 9th highest paid player on the Cubs. So, Nico, we do not know the figures as of yet. There are not many Cubs in the past that went out and earned their next contract. He was exceptional last year, was really, really great over the course of this 3-year, $35 million deal. and got paid. Well deserved. 312-644-6767. Parker, we'll get to you in just a moment. By the way, Tyler Farengold, Baby T on the other side of the glass there. Tyler, let's hear from Nico Horner again, talking about being a Cub, what it means to be here in Chicago.
I mean, yeah, the priority is on today and this season and making the most of that. I think the Cubs are going to have incredibly strong teams for years to come, and it's an incredible place to play. I think looking around the locker room right now, though, it's like for anyone looking past this year, whether you're signed here or not, it's taken away from what we have right in front of us right now, which is a really special opportunity.
Do you have any cutoff date for you if you're talking to the Cubs about yourself?
The priority is on the season for sure.
So that was Nico Horner this morning answering a lot of questions. I know that Spiegelman Holmes tried to get him to talk about it a couple of months ago. And Nico, who was a great interview, he was also very much a team-first guy, was not going to make any waves. But also interesting to answer questions, I'm sure, a back and forth with his agent to know that he was potentially close on a new deal. Again, Nico Horner signing a six-year contract extension to remain with the Cubs. Nico, for my money, I'll put it very simply, PCA is recognized as the face of this team. I would agree. Alex Bregman is recognized as the star of this team. Highest paid, won a World Series, perhaps best known around all of Major League Baseball. Nico Horner is the lifeblood of this team. He is ultimately the heart of this team. Nico Horner is a guy who, again, not necessarily the rah-rah guy, but each and every day shows up, is ready to go, and was the best second baseman in all of baseball last year. Let's talk about it. 312-644-6767. Cubs lose 10-4 to the Nationals. Game one of 162. Parker is downtown, wants to talk about this Cubs outing. Hey, Parker, what's going on? You're on the Score.
Hey, appreciate you having me on. I just wanted to bring up again, and I want to preface this as I'm in the office getting a stink eye for my boss by watching this Cubs game. It did nothing for me today. It's the same exact game that we've all been watching for the past 5 or 6 years here. Cubbies looking at Ian Happ in the three hole, going down in big situations, you know, Boyd leaving pitches over the plate, can't locate a pitch, Ben Brown coming in and letting up runs. It's the same song and dance with this team year in and year out.
Parker, I listen, my dad was a diehard Cubs fan, so I've lived the existence of this organization. He lived 76 years, never got to see a title. However, they did win one in 2016, and they also won 92 games last year and got to the divisional round. Game one of 162, Parker, you're already saying that's a wrap? Same old Cubs?
Same old Cubs, I'm saying it. After watching Milwaukee today as well and seeing what the Miz has done, I don't see us jumping Milwaukee this year after this performance. And I do it to myself every offseason. I see a big name, Bregman, come in and remind myself we're still the Chicago Cubbies. I agree. We got to see a title in 2016, but 2015 through 2017, that was an awesome stretch. I just don't believe that this team has it in them to produce a stretch like that.
Parker, give me your biggest overreaction game one to something happening with the Cubs for this season. Your biggest game one overreaction.
You're hearing it from me right now. I am the biggest overreactor, the biggest Monday morning quarterback there could ever be. My wife and I made picks last night based on the Central and everything. I had the Cubs winning the division going to the championship. Today, I have them finishing third behind the Brewers and Reds.
Parker. Well, listen, now if they win on Saturday, let's say that it's a similar score but flipped and it's somewhat lopsided, will you be convinced by Saturday night that the World Series bound?
Oh, I'm calling back in and I'm telling you guys that whatever I said was baloney.
Parker, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call.
Absolutely.
All right, good stuff. You got it. At least Parker can admit that he has leaned into overreaction. Again, there is NFL Monday overreaction, whether it's game one through game 17 in the NFL. Okay, great. NFL overreaction has nothing on MLB game one overreaction, right? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of Cubs fans out there that have decided that Matthew Boyd is about as old as he could ever be, and he's lost for the year, right? He may not win another game. Your all-star last year, Matthew Boyd, one of the reasons why the Cubs got to 92 wins, especially after Justin Steele went down, that Matthew Boyd is no good. Matt Shaw probably can't get it done in right field. Craig Counsell doesn't know how to make a lineup. There's no bullpen. We'll take your overreaction. 312-644-6767. That was a good start from Parker on a opening day overreaction. Zach is with us on the road on 104.3 The Score. Hey, Zach, what's going on tonight?
Yeah, Parker's full of crap, dude. He's one game in, and he thinks we're tanking. This isn't the lovable losers anymore. This is the lovable winners. And guess what? You know, we're back here. We're still doing our thing. And guess what? We might have lost today. We might have lost, but I was there last year, opening day. The Dodgers walk off, everything else. And we had Nico, dude, and now we got Nico back. You should be pumped up with Nico and PCA coming back. Parker's just I can't say it.
No, you did. But, good. No, he bit his tongue. Nice job, Zach.
He's sponsored by Jam Packs, buddy. I'll tell you that.
Zach.
And I tell you, you know,
Zach.
The guy needs to learn. You guy needs to learn. If you don't want, you're going to root for a team, then be part of the team, man.
Zach, let me ask you, though. What happened today? Can I use the F word? They were kind of flat today.
They were definitely flat, I'll be honest with you. And the wind was swirling. I was cold as. I can't say the F word on the radio.
No, you cannot.
I was cold as crap. It sucked, dude. I mean, it was cold. The wind was throwing, and there was stuff that I thought was going to go out and laid flat, too. And Boyd did a bang-up job for a bit, you know. And then bringing in Ben Brown again, still did the same stuff he did last year. So, I mean, Ben Brown bringing in the extra two pitches that he's gotten out, so now he's up to four. I mean, he should have worked on the first two he had in the first place. So that's all I got to say about that.
Zach, thank you for the call, buddy. Happy opening day to you. You know what? I'll be honest. Ben Brown was right up there with my biggest disappointments of the day. Matthew Boyd absolutely hit a wall. Like, I don't know if he wasn't stretched out enough. I think we kind of thought that maybe participating in the WBC would have some of these guys maybe more ready. But he went from 94.4 miles per hour in that first inning to that fourth inning when he got hit around to 92.8 miles per hour. Like he dropped almost 2 miles per hour over the course of four innings. I mean, he was sensational early on. He was having more swings and misses. He had more swings and misses than he had all of last year. 20 whiffs on 37 swings. That's four more than a single game high in 2025. And then completely hit the wall. 312-644-6767. Plenty of Parkers out there that want to talk. Let's go to Parker now in Indiana. Hey, Parker, what's going on? You're on 104.3 The Score.
Hi there. I just want to start off with saying thanks for having me on. And me and my dad went to the game today, and we froze our butts off. But the best part of the day was hearing that Nico Hoerner signed a 6-year deal with the Cubs, and we're super stoked about that. And I think Nico Hoerner is one of the best players on this team, if not the best. You know, he gets on base, he runs hard out of the box, and he's one of my favorite players on this team.
Amen to that, Parker, and amen to you calling in. 12 years old, Parker. What is it that you love most about the way that Nico plays?
I just like how hard he goes, and you know, he gets on base. He's one of the best Cubs players to do it right now. I mean, he bats almost 300 every single year. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of power, but he produces very well for the Cubs, and he's one of the clutchest guys on our team.
Parker, well said. So you and your dad went to the game today?
Yeah, it's my dad's birthday today.
Oh,
a lot of fun, but
what's your dad's name?
My dad's name is Jason.
Jason, happy birthday to your dad, Jason. Now, did Jason pop for good seats, Parker?
Yeah, we were actually like right kind of behind home plate, just up a little bit, but they're really good, nice seats. We like to sit up there.
Well done. Parker, thanks for the call, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Yep, you too.
Well done. Listen to Parker, 12 years old. And you know what, Parker? If Nico could homer, he'd be way more expensive. Like if Nico hit, which by the way, Parker, you sound like a ball player. One thing that Nico has really been working on is his back foot gives when he swings. It's hard to imagine someone with such great hand-eye coordination have the success that he's had with how his back foot kind of shoots towards the back of the batter's box. That's what he's been working on. because he can make great contact. And Nico is a well-built dude. Like, Nico doesn't look like someone you'd want to run into. But he hasn't generated a lot of power because he doesn't have his legs under him, Parker. I'm sure it's something you work on when you're swinging the bat. You got to have a solid stance underneath you. So if Nico is able to really figure out his feet and does not have that back foot give, that 7 home runs he hit last year, I absolutely believe he could get to 17. Like, whatever the figures are in this deal, Nico has earned this contract by being arguably the best second baseman in the entire game. Especially going back to last year. 312-644-6767. We'll talk to Alex Cohen of the Marquee Sports Network coming up in less than 10 minutes. Get his reaction to the Nico Horner deal and what we saw out at Wrigley Field today. Let's go to Michael in Edison Park with us on the Score. Hey, Michael, happy opening day. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to chime in a little bit. I've been listening to you guys for my entire life, and you guys are awesome. Let me put that in there first.
Thanks, Michael.
But the fact that people have been talking about how bad the Cubs are, it's a little bit overreaction. We got 4 runs. The weather's not good. Have you ever seen a 10-run game happen like that? Kind of insane. Just want to hear you guys' thoughts on it.
Yeah, Michael, thanks for the call. Thanks for the nice words. One thing that did happen today is the Cubs were 4-for-19 with runners in scoring position. Now, it was nice to have 19 runners in scoring position. You'd like to deliver. I don't know how good the Washington Nationals are going to be. I'll tell you this. The Pagoda projections for the Cubs, 89 wins. The Pagoda projections for the Washington Nationals, 67 wins. Now, let's hear from Craig Counsell before we step aside. Let's hear from Craig Counsell on the outing that Matthew Boyd had today.
The idea that when you leave spring training, pitchers are ready, but sometimes they're not ready. In other words, they've thrown a certain amount of pitches a certain amount of times, but maybe not always to the point where they're season ready. Do you buy into that at all?
I don't know. I mean, I thought, you know, Matt was pretty sharp to start the game. I thought the game fell apart pretty fast on him. I mean, that's what happened today. I'm not sure if that has to do with the first start of the season or not. I don't know.
Yeah, that was Craig Counsell not offering a lot. Again, there's a number of different directions to go with that, right? Like, what was Matthew Boyd the wrong decision to start at opening day? Here's the thing about opening day. It's game one of 162. They will need Matthew Boyd, whether it's game one, game two, game three, game four. If you were clamoring for Cade Horton, guess what? They will need Cade Horton on Saturday to win. And if he pitches really, really well, they're probably 1-1. So if Cade were to go in game one and Boyd pitched poorly in game two, then you'd be 1-1. Shota matters as much as Matthew Boyd. Jameson Taillon matters as much as Matthew Boyd. Edward Cabrera matters as much as Matthew Boyd. Game one, or the opening day nod, if you will, doesn't matter that much. Matthew Boyd pitching somewhere near what he did last year, if you hope to get to 90-plus wins over 32 starts, wherever many he gets to, that's what matters most. Again, final score today for the Cubs. They lose to the Nationals 10-4. But the other news, Nico Horner reportedly signing a 6-year contract extension to remain the Cubs' second baseman for the future. We'll talk about it more with Alex Cohen, the Marquee Sports Network, coming up next. Also, we will continue to run phone calls with you all the way until 9 o'clock. You want to hang out with us? Text line as well, 312-644-6767. We'll get Alex's reaction next on Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
If you're following the Cubs or White Sox from outside Chicago, every game still counts.
You still want insight, perspective, and coverage that sounds right. Context that explains what's happening and why it's important.
That's what we bring on Raheem Harris and Grody, breaking down every storyline on both the north side and the south side.
Chicago Baseball Talk, with clarity, honesty, and perspective wherever you are.
Stay connected to the Cubs and Sox and understand the season the way Chicago fans do.
Follow and listen to Raheem Harris and Grody on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Four.
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air from Wrigley Field in Chicago. It's opening day as the Cubs take on the Washington Nationals. Good afternoon, everybody. Along with former Cub and All-Star Ron Coomer, it's Pat Hughes reporting.
Well, listen, I know that the Cubs did not get it done today. They lose 10-4 in their opener, but that is worth the price of admission. I feel very, very confident. It was a winning broadcast with Pat, Ron, and Zach, especially right here on Now FM Heard on 104.3. The Score. Judson Richards with you until 9 o'clock this evening. Yes, it was a rough outing for Matthew Boyd. Cubs hitters were 4-for-19 with runners in scoring position in game one of 162, but somehow that has already become an old story, as reports are that Nico Hoerner has signed a 6-year contract extension. Let's talk about it with Alex Cohen from the Marquee Sports Network. Alex, I listened to the Score plenty today, the Marquee as well, had a terrific open and a great broadcast. So we're off and running of game one of 162. How are you, Alex?
I'm doing great, and I guess we're on track for 161-1. So
yes.
for the Cubs, but no, it was an up and down, or more like a down and up day for, you know, Chicago Cubs and their fans. They lose to the Nationals, but they get a reported 6-year extension for their Gold Glove caliber and hopefully soon to be All-Star second baseman Nico Hoerner. Their entire infield is either under control or under contract until the end of the 2029 season. It's a good day overall to be a Chicago Cubs fan.
Yeah, that's right. You go around the horn. Michael Busch, obviously Dansby Swanson, the big deal for Alex Bregman, and now Nico Hoerner as well. Alex, what did you make of this contract? Were you surprised at all that they were able to get it done even as the season began?
I'm definitely not surprised. I mean, I think if you talk to Nico and Jed before today's game, I mean, they were very excited that it was opening day, but also felt a little coy. I mean, I think that Jed was asked a question about the Nico extensions or other extensions, and he essentially said no comments. So things were on the horizon, and it ended up happening. And any time that you could lock up a player of that caliber and the prime of his career, you know, coming off a 6-WAR season, he was a top 10 valuable player in all of baseball. And again, like, I want to re-talk about the importance of your entire infield is locked up. You know, you have a third baseman you just signed to a 5-year, $175 million contract. You have one of the best defensive shortstops in baseball under contract until the end of the 2029 season. You have the best defensive second baseman in baseball now locked up for reportedly a 6-year deal. And then a first baseman who is under team control, isn't even getting paid a lot, but under team control until 2029, coming off a 30-plus home run season. That's a really big luxury that a lot of teams don't have.
Alex, I was looking at the contract today on Nico Hoerner. I know a lot of people like to think that the PCA deal is somewhat of a team-friendly deal. It certainly is if he puts up offensive numbers like he did last year. But, man, you want to talk about a great team-friendly deal. The deal that Nico Hoerner was on, 3 years, $35 million. He's in the final year of that deal. PCA was a 6-WAR player last year. Nico Hoerner was a 6.2-WAR player. That's how great he's been. I look at PCA as the face of the franchise. I have Alex Bregman as the star, the most recognizable name around Major League Baseball. I look at Nico Hoerner really as the heart, or more like the lifeblood of this team, from the day-in, day-out grind and how well he's able to do it.
You could make the case that, all things considered, Nico Hoerner is the best overall baseball player on this team, with the ability to hit over 300, 200-plus hits in a season, steal 40 bags in a year, and also have Gold Glove caliber defense. Not even caliber. I mean, he's the best defensive second baseman in baseball without striking out. Like, he does so many good things. And then you talk to Craig Counsell about Nico Hoerner, says, you know what, like, there's still some power left in the tank. Like, there's the ability to drive the baseball out of the ballpark, into the gaps, get that OPS up. So I think the sky's the limit really for Nico, and for him to be a Chicago Cub from what, age 28 to 34, it's really good for the organization.
You know, looking at the game today, it was ugly. I felt like they came out a little bit flat. I will say, though, the player that I thought may have quietly had the best game was Pete Crow Armstrong. I'll tell you why.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
He had a rough first at-bat. His next at-bat, the pitch that he swung and missed at, the one that hit him, I think, in his foot or in his knee, he jumped all over that curveball. I don't know if he was looking for it or he just saw it up, but it looked like he made a great adjustment from a bat one to at-bat two to an RBI single. And then that bunt, and don't give me this because I'm 45 years old, I love bunts. We're waiting for a better on-base percentage. The way that he laid down that bunt in a crucial situation, the shift was on a little bit. Great bat control is what we want from PCA. Whether he's swinging it or bunting at it, the more he can get on base, the more damage he can do. He looked kind of grown up, if you will, with the game he had today.
It was not trying to do too much.
Yep.
It was, as you said, after the strikeout that Cavalli dealt him in his first at-bat two, again, jump on an off-speed pitch and not swing out of his shoes and try to hit it out of the park. Just trying to drive in a run, putting the ball on the ground to the right side, and then recognizing what the defense gives you on the butt. Hey, I'm one of the fastest players in baseball. I'm a left-handed hitter. They're giving me the entire third base side. Let me lay one down. He found a pitch to do it. He did it perfectly, and it was a two-hit game for Pete. So you are going to have games where he does struggle offensively and he does strike out like he did in his first at bat. But for him to come through with, you know, a run batted in and with two hits, it's, if you can get tight games like that from Pete Crow Armstrong to go along with the power surges that he has, it turns him into such a complete player.
Judson Richards with you tonight on 104.3 The Score all the way until 9 o'clock. He's Alex Cohen of the Marquee Sports Network. The Cubs lose 10-4. They will be back at it on Saturday. Why do they get a day off? Because of the pomp and circumstance of opening day. They like to keep that extra day around in case you have to miss. Thought we were going to get some baseball-sized hail. We were able to get it in today, but the Cubs do fall to the Nationals 10-4. Alex, what did you make of the game that Matthew Boyd had? You guys discussed it very well in post game. He went from 94.4. He was mowing people down. And his velocity, by the time he got to that fourth inning where he hit around, was down to 92.8 miles per hour. He felt like he went hard and got gassed somewhat quickly.
That happens. I mean, especially with an off-season regimen that's not as normalized when going into the WBC and training like you did before the season started and then leaving spring training and pitching in an inconsistent fashion. I'm not talking about results. I'm talking about workload. In the WBC, when most players are building up and building routine in spring training, he wasn't. So I'm not as concerned about that, especially through the first three innings when he struck out seven and had 16 swings and misses. So,
yeah,
I mean, if he was at 92.9 in his first inning or first two innings, I would have a little bit more concern. But assuming he comes out of this start healthy and feeling okay, I am optimistic that he will get back to the Matthew Boyd of 2025. And I thought that the first three innings were pretty good.
What'd you make of Ben Brown?
I think that Ben's in a new role. Ben has always been stretched out as a starter, but the fact that he can cover you for what, 3 1/3, and you know, he's throwing the sinker. It got better as the outing went on. He still has a knuckle curve. He still has the four seamer, and I think he'll just get better and better. You give up the home run to Jacob Young on a ball that was wind blown down the right field line. It happens. I mean, it was still hit hard, but it's probably hit to the warning track or caught before the warning track without the wind at Wrigley Field. So I'm not as concerned about that. Still, you know, from a control standpoint, you want more refinement on the pitches, especially the knuckle curve, because it's so devastating. But I think he's going in the right direction. And just with the stuff that he has, the fact that the velo was gaining velocity over his outing, and he could be utilized as a three-pitch pitcher and not as much of a two-pitch pitcher, and even could be a four-pitch pitcher if he does throw the changeup against left-handed hitters, he could be a really big weapon.
What have you seen from Cade Horton in spring training? Is how challenging will it be for him to pick up right where he left off? And I say that only because he was so good in the second half last year.
I'm not sure it'll be that challenging. I mean, if you look at his last start in spring training, when what he struck out 10 and he had 18 swings and misses. I think it was his second to last start, and then he threw 5 shutout against the Brewers. And yeah, I don't know if I'm that concerned about it. I mean, the fact that he came into last year finally healthy, having a spring training, you know, going to AAA Iowa for about a month and a half, and then coming to the Cubs and having a pretty good first half when he got brought up, and then one of the best pitchers in baseball in the second half, and the fact that his stuff has just gotten better and the velocity is maintained and he's been able to really stay healthy. And I think that he is primed for a huge season for the Cubs. And I don't know if he can duplicate what he did in the second half, because if he did, he'd be the best pitcher in baseball history. But I think you're looking at a guy who is a, you know, top tier starting pitcher. I mean, you're looking at number one potential.
When can we expect to see Sei Suzuki back in the lineup?
Yeah, I think the Craig Council talked about it pregame, that he is due or could be able to come off the injured list in the last game of the homestand, and it doesn't appear that's going to happen right away, but they're still making growth and they're still, you know, getting a workload in, and he's still doing baseball activities. So those are all good signs. So I would imagine you'd be able to revisit that conversation right after the homestand ends, and when you get into the road trip against Cleveland and against Tampa. Hopefully those conversations become realities.
I believe you and Lance did your projections, right, on your new podcast.
Yes.
You were at 92 wins?
So, no, I was anywhere in between 90 and 94. And I know that's a wide range, but, you know, you rub the crystal ball.
Way to put your name on it, Alex.
Yeah, you rub the genie at the top of the head, yeah, the ball dome, and I just felt 94 and 68 or 90 and 72. I couldn't figure it out. So I'll go on record and say 94 and 68, but if they end up 90 and 72, I still think they win the division, they still get 90-plus wins, and I'm still half right. So
it hasn't plummeted to 79 wins after today's loss.
No, it is not, no.
To get to the high end of what you spoke of, give me one standout player that would have to have a career year to get there.
I think it starts with starting pitching, and I think if one of Cade Horton or Edward Cabrera can end up being a stud, like I'm talking about number one, get the ball game one of the postseason, and they throw their A stuff, and even if you're facing an A lineup, like, it doesn't matter. They're going to get you out. So I think if one of those starting pitchers takes the role of a number one starting pitcher, an ace, all-star ability, I think they're going to win 94 games.
I'm a big fan of Boog Sciampi. I'm also a big fan of Alex Cohen on the call. Can you give us a date when we'll get to hear you calling some marquee games?
Yeah, as of right now, my first game on the schedule is April 12th, so it'll be a Sunday game. And, I'm looking forward to a little Sunday afternoon at Wrigley Field.
Go get them. I love the Cubs Now podcast as well on the Marquee Sports Network. Alex, we are off and running in the season. Thanks for your time tonight.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. Go Cubs, go.
Good stuff from Alex Cohen there. Yeah, he said it. This is a team now that has their infield set, right? Bob Nightingale just tweeted, whoever imagined the Cubs would outspend every team in Major League Baseball this winter, investing more than $400 million in free agents and extension, with the latest, of course, being reportedly a 6-year, $100-plus million contract extension for second baseman Nico Hoerner. If you'd like to react to that, let's do it. 312-644-6767. Also, this question for you. If you want to talk about what happened out at Wrigley today, let's do it. But also, who got the better of the deal? The Cubs or Pete Crow Armstrong? We'll talk about it all coming up next on Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is With the First Pick, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where draft season never ends. Join former Titans GM Rand Carthon and me, Ryan Wilson, 3 times a week for an inside look at the college all-star games, the NFL Combine, and Pro Days. It's all building toward the big stage in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania this April for the 2026 NFL Draft. Follow and listen to With the First Pick on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
defensive approach today?
Yeah, I think we had a lot of guys on base, a lot of traffic. Obviously, that's a good thing. Hopefully here we'll get it rolling and capitalize on those opportunities. But overall, a lot of traffic. Bally and Happer hit two balls really well in the air. So did Carson. But yeah, just day one, keep going.
All right, that was Alex Bregman. Day one, keep going. The Cubs lose to the Nationals by a score of 10-4. The Sox lose to the Brewers 14-2. If Chicago baseball was outscored, what's that, 24-6 on opening day? Yikes. But it's game one of 162. However, we will always take your reaction. 312-644-6767. A couple questions regarding the Cubs. I would like to ask you, Cubs fans, recognizing we have a whole season in front of us, what is the ceiling of this Cubs team, and what player has to have a career year for them to reach whatever win total you believe that to be? 312-644-6767. Also, who got the better of the deal, the Cubs or Pete Crow Armstrong? Is it 5 or 6 years over $119 million, Tyler?
Six.
It's six, right? Six for 119 was the deal for PCA. Thank you. That's Tyler Farrengold on the other side of the glass. Judson Richards along with you until 9 o'clock this evening. By the way, really looking forward to talking to Ryan Baker of CBS Chicago in Houston. He is there at the arena for Illinois and Houston tonight with a 9 o'clock Central Time tip, so we'll get into that coming up. It is a great sports day, not only with opening day, also with the Sweet 16. We just wish our teams would have played a little bit better. Let's get you in. 312-644-6767. Kyle from Elmhurst is with us on 104.3 The Score. Hey, Kyle, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Definitely the Cubs got the best, you know, deal out of the PCA deal. I know he only showed himself the beginning of last season, still has a lot to show at the plate. He's proven himself defensively. What I want to talk about, though, is our pitching staff. Is Boyd our ace right now? Why do we shell him out today? I mean, could we have put Imanaga out there? Like, who is our number one trusted guy, and go down the list of who we trust? You know, Steele's still hurt. I know that's going on, but who can we trust right now at the bump? And I will.
Well, hold on, Kyle. Let me ask you: who do you think the ace of the staff is? And you can include Justin Steele. He's hurt. He's not dead.
You know, I want to say Imanaga, but I know he's good for letting up a couple home runs every outing.
Mm.
But also,
you would say Imanaga over Cade Horton?
Oh, okay, Horton is another one I was going to say, too. I like the way Horton is pitching, and he has proved himself last season, too. But did it make sense to put Boyd on the mound today? That was my question, you know?
Yeah. You know what, Kyle, I'd like to think that all the names that you mattered, that the Cubs would have still won the game, right? I mean, Cade Cavalli did not throw a single pitch in the bigs in 2023 and 2024. Like, you know, the Nationals are supposed to win 67 games this year, right? Like, shouldn't it just been any of those guys?
Exactly. And we should have had the appearance at the plate to kind of, you know, I know we put up four runs or whatever, but, you know, 10 runs is kind of crazy. And from between Boyd and Ben Brown, I mean, it just seemed like it was a throwaway game after, you know, Ben Brown came in.
Yeah, no, it did. Kyle, thank you for the phone call. Listen, how much did you know about guys named Jacob Young, Joey Weimer, Brady House? Because those were the three guys that homered. Like, not Michael Bush, not Alex Bregman, not PCA. Say Suzuki wasn't in the lineup. They got beat. They got outslugged by the Nationals. And by the way, I mentioned Justin Steele is hurt. He's not really hurt. He just isn't cleared to play just yet. That guy, I would call him healthy. Just he's ramping back up.
Medically cleared.
Thank you, Tyler. That is the most sophisticated way to put it. He is not medically cleared, but he will be hopefully by the month of May. So to answer Kyle's question, to me, the ace of the staff is the best pitcher on the team. That's a rather obvious way to state it, but 2026 hasn't played out yet. So if Cade Horton has a better year than Justin Steele, and if Cade Horton is far and away better than everybody else, then I'm going to call him the ace of the staff. If Matthew Boyd bounces back and bounces back to be as good as he was last year and outperforms Imanaga and Horton and all the way down the line, then I would probably call him the ace of the staff. Do I have a problem today that Matthew Boyd started? I absolutely do not. I don't. Do I wish he would have pitched better? Yes. It's like he thought he was only going to go three innings, so he gassed out. His velocity, he was touching 95. Like, I don't know if he was overly ramped up. It's the third time he's made an opening day start, so he should, you know, it's not like he should have just been plowing through it because there was too much adrenaline. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's 35 years old. I don't have a problem with it because of how great he was last year. And again, if you thought Cade Horton should have started today, well, guess what? He'll pitch Saturday. And then he'll pitch his next time in the rotation, and the next time in the rotation, and the next time in the rotation. One of the scary things and beautiful things about the game of baseball, you are only as strong as your weakest link. Because you play 162 games. Like, do I still have a lot of questions about the Cubs' bullpen? Yeah, I mean, Ben Brown ate up some innings. I wish he would have come in and kept it a five-run game because he gave up the sixth. The six earned runs that went on Matthew Boyd's line, like that's on him. 312-644-6767. We will allow you to have your overreactions. Like, this is a safe place. The thing about overreactions is they often come from a very passionate place, right? And I am not one, especially working in sports talk radio, that will quell any sort of passion. You know, I mean, I don't have a problem with Matthew Boyd starting today, but if you called up and said, I have a real concern with him being 35 years of age with how many innings he threw last year compared to how few he threw the years prior to, and potentially there would be some fatigue that would set in to not allow him to be like last year, well, that's a rather rational overreaction. You know what one thing kind of looked like to me? I'll give you another overreaction of mine. They kind of look small. The Cubs kind of look small today. Like on paper, they don't look like a team that would lack slug per se. But the Nationals just were kind of swinging from their heels and didn't matter the wind or the weather. Like they were hitting the ball over the fence. And it's like, all right, well, Bregman isn't young per se. If he ages out quickly, that may not be the best contract. The PCA is not the home run hitter that he was last year. Like, I just found myself wondering, and with Kyle Tucker gone, like I found myself wondering, can they keep up with the Joneses when it comes to just hitting the ball over the fence for an easy amount of runs? That's admittedly a major game one of 162 overreaction, Tyler.
You know what's funny? I'm thinking about your smaller comment now, and outside of Moises Ballesteros, who is obviously very new to this team, it feels like the entire lineup even includes Seiya Suzuki. They're like the same body type. They're like the exact same prototype.
There is no Aaron Judge. There is no Aaron Judge or Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh, even throw in O'Neill Cruz from the Pirates. I know he's a pretty tall dude.
Yeah. And listen, I am somewhat visually indicting, especially Matthew Boyd, Michael Bush, who had 34 home runs last year. Like, it didn't really matter if he's 6'5 or 6'1. He has a beautiful left-handed swing and ran into the ball. Same with PCA. Like, PCA looks like he's 175 pounds soaking wet, and any given day can hit the ball 450 feet. But just watching the game today, it looked like a team to me that was built to score runs the hard way. And that's get them on, get them over, get them in, unlike what the Nationals were able to do, which has come away with three home runs on a day that looked like there wasn't going to be any home runs.
So you're saying there's no power forward and no center in the lineup?
I am a fan as much as anybody out there. It's why I do what I do. So if you don't think I also run into absurd overreactions of game one of 162, you're wrong. We've got some coming through on the text line. We will continue to take your reaction. What happened to the Cubs today? Does it change at all what you think is the season that they can have? What is the ceiling and who has to have the big, big year for them to get it? We'll also get more to PCA because we did not get to do it this segment. More to these phone calls. And Pete Armstrong was so good on how he needs to be better in the batter's box this year. That audio is coming up next as well. Judson Richards with you until 9 o'clock tonight on 104.3 The Score.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.